Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature, with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City, a 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime. Kansas City wins the game.
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Monday. And do we have a lot to get into? The Royals are making trades. The Royals are signing players to extensions. The Chiefs have made a major decision. There are a lot of things to get into in today's show. Again, my name is Carrington Harrison. Happy to be here with you. Rob is here as well, taking you up until 5:30 when we hand things off to the Royals as they're playing host to the Atlanta Braves coming up later today at Kauffman Stadium. Before we get to that, I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. I also need you to tell one friend to check out the show. Two friends will be great. But if you could just tell one person to check out the show, you know what? I would greatly appreciate it. And I also want to tell you guys to stop by the other place with 5 area locations and stop by and get yourself some pizza and something to drink. So today, I actually think the lead is pretty split. Now, we got to give you a random lineup today. It's been a while since we've had a random lineup. But I actually think the lead is split today. Let's start with the Royals because they made a major decision. We have been talking about the Royals trading Seth Lugo, I would say, for about 6 to 8 weeks. I think we all knew that as we got closer to July 31st, the Royals were going to have to make a decision. Well, the Royals have made their decision. Seth Lugo is a part of their future, and they are not trading him. Now, I want to be very, very, very clear on this. I have zero problems with them deciding to keep Seth Lugo. Maybe I would have traded him. Maybe you would have traded him. But keeping a quality pitcher on a good contract and you always have the ability to move on from that player is certainly not the worst decision that you can make. But if there are 3 avenues that you have to improve your baseball team for 2026, now some of you might still be focused on 2025. I'm beyond that. I don't think we're watching a playoff team. We have seen 106 Royals games. I don't know what reason I have to believe that they are making the postseason. If you're still holding on to that, great. I'm not telling you that you should let it go. I'm telling you that I did. So I'm thinking for next year's Kansas City Royals. And having a surplus of starting pitching is never a bad starting point. Cole Reagan, Seth Lugo, Noah Cameron, Michael Wacha, Bubich. I mean, you have all of the options at your disposal. So there is not a single part of me that thinks they made the wrong decision in keeping Seth Lugo. But you have three avenues to improve your team for 2026. One is the draft. We all know that baseball is not like the NFL. It's not like you can draft Joshua Simmons and he instantly start for you. So the draft, let's go and X that out. The trade deadline. The belief was that you were going to trade Chris Bubich. You were going to trade Seth Lugo at the deadline. You get something back, and then you turn that into something for next season. Well, the Royals have told you that's not how they're looking to improve their team. The Royals have told you that they want to keep Seth Lugo, and again, that's fine. Then you got to spend money in free agency. Simple. The Royals have an offensive problem. I'm not telling you something you don't know. They've had this problem now for almost a year. This offseason, we tried. You know, I mean, we really wanted this guy. It just didn't work out. I mean, we really wanted this guy. And, you know, I don't know, the deal fell through. You're right. It takes two to tango. You can offer something. The other person has to accept it. I get it. The Royals will have one major part figured out for next season. The starting pitching, the bullpen, again, should be good. We all know what their problem is, and if you weren't going to trade one of your starting pitchers to go help in that endeavor, then you got to go spend money in free agency. Now, maybe down the line, they end up trading one of these starting pitchers. Maybe they trade Chris Bubich the same way that they traded Brady Singer. Maybe they trade Noah Cameron, and they go get themselves a quality bat. I don't care how they do it, but we will be having very similar conversations next year about the Royals having enough starting pitching but not nearly enough defense unless something happens to change that conversation. So if the draft is not going to help you in the here and now, that's not really how baseball works. You're not going to use the trade deadline to do it. All right, well, once we get to November, December, and moves start happening, the Royals need to be one of those teams that is potentially willing to overspend to go get what they need to put a quality bat in the middle of their lineup. So as long as we're on the same page, again, I don't have any problem with them keeping Seth Lugo. I don't have any problem with the Royals having a surplus in stockpile of pitching. And you can always trade this Seth Lugo contract if you want to. It's not bad. I believe multiple teams called about Seth Lugo. And the Royals have an abundance of something that you need in baseball, which is starting pitching. So the Royals can solve this problem if they want to. You either spend it by trading one of their starting pitchers, which they just told you at least right now they don't want to, or you change it by spending a little bit of money in free agency. So let's just knock out the Seth Lugo part of this open. I'm fine with it. You should be fine with it. This is a good thing. You will never, ever hear me upset at the Royals spending money. Not as a lifelong Kansas Cityan. You will never hear me upset that the Royals spent money to retain one of their own players. All right, let's move to Josh Simmons. All right, so I think the Royals, or excuse me, the Chiefs, I think the Chiefs have made a decision. I think the Chiefs are telling you that they know exactly who their left tackle is. This is not a rotation anymore. That's not what we're talking about. We are not talking about the Chiefs still searching to find who their left tackle is. They have the answer. It's Joshua Simmons. We have talked a lot about there being three tackles for two spots. That's not the case. One of those positions has been filled. It's Joshua Simmons. That position is over. He has taken all of the reps at left tackle. He has taken all the reps at left tackle. And once the pads came on, that was the real answer. And Juwan Taylor was back. So once Juwan Taylor came back and we were trying to figure out what the Chiefs were going to do when that happened, we got our answer. So at left tackle, it's Joshua Simmons until proven otherwise to me. I don't think there's any reason to think that Jalen Moore is playing left tackle. He hasn't been practicing over there. Joshua Simmons is taking all of the reps over there. So now we know who their left tackle is. And this is where the Chiefs, you got to take your chances and swings in the draft. If you're telling me that you potentially got a top 10 pick at left tackle, but you got him at 31 or 32, great. Great job by the Chiefs. If that ends up being the long-term solution to a problem. Now we're talking about the other side. And at this point, I don't know who their right tackle is. I mean, I think there are two fine options. Juwan Taylor has certainly had his problems, but the Chiefs obviously like him. And they spent a lot of money to go get Jalen Moore and gave him $21 million guaranteed. So I can admit I was wrong on this. I thought that the finances and the business of football was going to outweigh all of these things. I ended up being incorrect. I ended up being wrong. Josh Simmons is going to start for this team at left tackle. I think that is pretty clear now at this point. Now the biggest question in Chiefs training camp is trying to tell you who their starting right tackle is going to be. They're having guys rotate over on that right side between Jalen Moore and beyond Juwan Taylor. And I think that is a true competition of may the best man win. But I do believe that they have made a determination on who the best man is over at left tackle. And I believe, Rob, that they're going with the young guy.
I think the decision is the correct decision because I think the minute the draft shook out the way it did, and the Chiefs had no idea in April or May that Josh Simmons would fall all the way. You know, it's one of those things like the mock drafts have it, but you never know. You never know. The minute they drafted Josh Simmons, this was the best possible outcome that he's healthy. He's ready to go. And he's your left tackle because when healthy, he's a better player than Jalen Moore. When healthy, he is, by all metrics, a franchise left tackle. He is a guy that will play above his contract level because he is going to be better, in theory, than a rookie contract. So I think the Chiefs are popping bottles over in St. Joe that their rookie left tackle is their guy on the first day of camp. I will put this one caveat in the whole Josh Simmons conversation. Last year this time, Kingsley Suamataia was the left tackle. It was a lot of the same conversations. It was, hey, a guy who could have been a first-round pick fell the second round. The Chiefs got him late, and now look at this. He's their starting left tackle. They found their guy. Simmons is better than Kingsley, but the conversation feels eerily similar. I don't think we'll know for sure until you see more live bullets. But on the outside, on the surface, it looks great for what happened with Kansas City.
We'll talk more about the Chiefs here coming up in just a little bit. I actually think that Josh Simmons is the answer to a question that I never thought a first-round offensive lineman would be able to answer. But you guys know the rules. If we start the show talking Royals baseball, then it can only mean one thing. Rob, hit me.
We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals.
Carrington, today's random Royals lineup takes us back to the year 2004 when you and I were kids and we got told the Royals had no choice but to trade Carlos Beltran. Here is their lineup post-Beltran trade in 04.
This is about to be a journey.
Leading off in center field, David DeJesus.
I mean, that's like the best choice version of having Carlos Beltran. Like, you still have him around. It's not the same. It's not the store. You know, it's the store brand one, but, you know, it tastes the same.
Batting second at second base, Tony Graffanino.
Heavy hitter. How many home runs did he hit that year? I'm going to guess 7.
Oh, there's no way he got to 7 in 04.
You don't think he hit 7 home runs?
In 04, he had 3.
I gave that man an offensive explosion.
Batting third, the first baseman, Mike Sweeney.
I feel bad for Mike Sweeney. I really do. The more that we do this exercise, the worse and worse I feel for Mike Sweeney.
Batting fourth, the designated hitter, Ken Harvey.
That's real protection right there.
Batting fifth at third base, Joe Randa.
Just so many fan favorites.
Batting sixth, this is where it falls off a cliff.
I mean, it's still on the cliff.
Batting sixth.
Their four hitter is Ken Harvey.
Batting sixth in right field, Ruben Mateo.
Oh, boy.
Batting seventh, the former rookie of the year, the shortstop, Angel Barroa.
I'm happy that you're starting to put the proper respect on Angel Barroa's name because for a while there, you were being very, very disrespectful for seemingly no reason. It didn't make sense.
Batting eighth, the left fielder and dunk contest competitive player, D. Brown.
He did the dunk contest?
Different D. Brown.
Oh, okay. I was about to be like, well, hold on. He had hops like that. He was leaping.
There was a D. Brown who did the dunk contest. No, it wasn't
I
this
remember.
D. Brown.
I'm saying he had bunnies like that. I didn't know.
And batting ninth, the catcher, John Buck.
How many wins did this team have?
Not many. By the way, the Royals got thumped this day because Jimmy Gobble gave up 8 4 1/3. His ERA jumped to 5.
All I remember about Jimmy Gobble is that he was a sandwich pick. And people thought that was like the funniest joke in the world, that he was a sandwich pick and his last name was Gobble.
This team went 58-104. So it's basically the 2023 Royals.
Why'd you have to do that? Was that necessary? Was that necessary? Coming up on the other side, I think we are already able to check a box. And Rob, something happened this weekend that you and I haven't had an opportunity to discuss. I'll tell you what it is. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Watch the show on YouTube by subscribing to the 965 YouTube channel. The Drive, brought to you by DM Entry Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Entry Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 965, The Fan.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
StreetEasy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
All right. There's a conversation I want to have with Rob coming up in just a bit. Before we do that, are we already done with who the training camp darling is? I mean, usually the training camp darling is somebody that just appears out of nowhere. It's a Carson Steele from last year where we learn about, what was it, Crocky J. Usually the training camp hero is a Casey Printers or a Westland Dressler, someone like that. A Luis Riz-Zamet is usually the training camp hero. If you are following social media, it would appear there's only one player at training camp right now, and it's Joshua Simmons. Is Joshua Simmons the training camp darling? Now, I get it. If you didn't have a left tackle all last season, they then draft a left tackle. You have been told for the last 3 months that this guy would have been a top 10 pick if he had been healthy. You maybe in the back of your mind are thinking about this guy as a potential redshirt year. Now you see him out there and he's dominant and he's running with the ones. And now you feel like you have your potential franchise left tackle, something that this organization hasn't had since Eric Fisher. Have we already figured it out? Because you can't tell me it's Breshard Smith right now. You can't tell me it's the fourth string tight end. No, everybody's attention at training camp is around one person. Now, I think that was always going to be the case, but it'd be a lot different if the Chiefs had Jalen Moore playing left tackle, Juwan Taylor had been playing right this time, and you're sort of rotating Josh Simmons in. I mean, what makes this different than what we saw with Creed Humphrey? What makes this different than what we saw with Trey Smith? Those guys had the job, basically had it since day one, and we've never discussed it again. What if the Chiefs have their answer at left tackle? And what if they also have it at right tackle with Jalen Moore, who they have under contract? Like, what if this is their offensive line and the Chiefs are prepared to roll with this offensive line for, at a minimum, the next 2 years? I mean, if this offensive line is what I think most fans would want, where you got Simmons playing left tackle, Kingsley at guard, you then got Humphrey, Smith, and then you got Moore over there on the other side. I mean, you want to talk about continuity. If you can keep everybody healthy, at a minimum for the next 2 years, you feel like you got your offensive line. But back to the main point here, which is about Joshua Simmons. Rob, have we already answered the question? Is Josh Simmons the training camp darling?
See, I'm torn on this. A part of me thinks the answer is yes, because what has polluted social media, at least in the first handful of days of camp? It's Josh Simmons one-on-one. It's Josh Simmons in pass set. It's, hey, the Chiefs went deep. You know how they went deep? Look, Josh Simmons was blocking on the outside. Josh Simmons this, Josh Simmons that. So a part of me thinks you are 100% correct. He might be the camp darling. But it feels icky and it feels wrong to say the Chiefs' first round pick is the camp darling. I don't think it can be Josh Simmons. I think he can be the story of camp, but the camp darling, he can't be the cutesy plucky story when he was the 30th overall pick. No, it can't be camp darling.
So then let me ask you this question. Are the Chiefs a team now that they are incapable of having a training camp darling? Because, yes, Carson Steele was everybody's media darling last year until they started actually playing games. And then it was like, wait. No, we're not doing this. I'm seeing right now on the text line, what about Tyquan Thornton? I don't know how excited you can be as a Chiefs fan for your sixth receiver, especially one who isn't going to help you on special teams. So, yes, Thornton might make the team, but you already know what the rotation looks like at his position. So there's only so exciting I think you can be about Tyquan Thornton. He's not ahead of Rice when Rice is healthy or off suspension. He's not ahead of Xavier Worthy. He's not ahead of Hollywood Brown. So we're talking about at best, he's not ahead of Jalen Royals. So we're saying is at best he's your fifth receiver. Can that guy be your training camp darling if this is only an August thing? This isn't even a September thing. This is an August thing. Maybe the Chiefs have got to the point because they're so good that they just can't have training camp darling anymore because we know enough about this team and the roster. Like, I'm reading it right now. Someone echoes what you said. A first-round pick can't be a camp darling. It has to be a sixth-round pick or later or an undrafted free agent. Then I just don't think this team has room for those players anymore. I think their roster is too good then. Then I would say then the last training camp darling you really had was in Trey Smith. A guy who, a sixth-round pick you were really excited about, you saw from day one that he could be a potential starter, and it carried on to the season. If you can't help the Chiefs win regular season games, I just don't know if you guys get excited about those guys anymore. So maybe the Chiefs just don't have that. Maybe that's the moral of this, that the Chiefs are too good to have a training camp darling, that they've evolved past this.
No, I think they can still have a camp darling because last year they were coming off a Super Bowl championship, and they were the prohibitive favorite to go back. And everyone was talking about Crocky J. No one was talking about Crocky J or Carson Steele last year, and they were just as good. I still think you can have a camp darling. I think now we have to get deeper into camp for that darling to emerge because there's going to be a Tyquan Thornton. There's going to be a Jack Cochran, the linebacker from a few years ago. That kind of guy is still going to emerge, and that guy's going to ball out in preseason game one, and then it's going to be a massive story when they go back to St. Joe.
So you're saying it's too early right now?
Too early.
It's too early. Okay, if you're saying it's too early, I can live with that. If you're telling me it's too early to put the training camp darling on anybody, even though I think it's their first-round pick,
But I definitely understand the argument. It can't be your first round pick.
I'm going to say this. Let Jake Bringingstool get healthy and ball out in the first preseason game. Oh, and they go back to St. Joe. He's the guy. Or Robert Tonyan. I know he's a veteran. Supposedly he's looking good at camp. Let Robert Tonyan catch a pass from Gardner Minshew in that first preseason game. And oh, Tonyan mania is coming to a rise.
All right. Let me ask you this question. Now, I know how this question is going to be perceived because I cheer for Missouri, but I want to let you know that it doesn't come from that place, and it comes from a place of I'm a sports talk host, and this is a topic. Rob, are KU fans prepared? Do you think their university is prepared for Bill Self to step down? Because it has to be a conversation that you are having, whether it's publicly or privately. He has now had health issues in two of the last three Kansas basketball seasons. He couldn't finish one of the seasons. He just had an incident where now he has two stents in his heart. We're talking about heart issues. And you are someone who is essentially a CEO of a high stressful major company is what he is. Is that a conversation that KU fans are having, that this Bill Self thing just doesn't appear to be another decade kind of thing? And whatever you get moving forward from Bill, you obviously should be very, very happy. And he still is able to coach at an incredibly high level. I think we kind of knew this when they brought in Jock Vaughn, that I don't think they've announced it, but Jock Vaughn to me just feels like the coach in waiting. Your name is up in the rafters. You've coached in the NBA. If there is anybody that knows what it means to be at the University of Kansas, it would be you. This just seems like a natural transition if something happens to Bill, or if Bill eventually has to step down. But I'm just looking at it just logically. Again, this isn't a Missouri fan coming at it. I'm just, if your coach was unable to finish a season and now just had a pretty serious heart issue before another season started, are you prepared for maybe at the end of the season, Bill just says, I can't do this anymore?
I think both fans and the administration would be naive to not be preparing for that possibility. And I think now, more than ever before at Kansas, both fans and the administration have to know that time could be getting shorter as the head coach. I think he's going to 100% no doubt coach this season. I don't think he is missing the opportunity to coach Darren Peterson unless a doctor tells him he can't. And based on all reports, doctors are saying you're going to be good to go by the season, little for sure. R&R. I think how this season goes could really impact the ensuing season, because I think Bill Self is a competitive monster. And if they are a 7 seed again, I don't think he has any interest in walking out of Kansas after a mediocre season. But if Darren Peterson's the guy everyone says Darren Peterson is, and they go to a Final Four, could I see him walking away the way Coach K did? I know Coach K wasn't on top, but he went to a Final Four his final season at Duke. Could I see that? Maybe. But I think the outcome will be the determining factor, because with his health, if they continue to stink, I don't think he's going to accept that. But if they have a Final Four and then an Elite Eight back-to-back seasons, I think he is more apt to walk out. The same way that I think if Travis Kelce had won the Super Bowl last year, he was more likely to retire than stay. So I think he's in for this season, and the outcome of this season could create an interesting conversation come April.
I agree with you there. There's no reason to think that he is just retiring between now and the end of the season. But you mentioned some of those historic coaches, and their run just ended. Like, one day we woke up and Roy Williams was just like, I'm not doing this anymore. Now, obviously for very different reasons, but Roy Williams woke up one day and just said, I don't want to coach anymore. Coach K, you mentioned, just woke up one day and said, I'm done. I've been here for a while. I've had a great career. I'm done. Jay Wright at Villanova. Like, we can go up and down the list. A lot of those peers that Bill Self has had in competition throughout his time at the University of Kansas, a lot of those guys have just simply walked away from the sport. And if you're 62, you've had multiple heart issues in the last 2 years, one that didn't allow you to finish the season, one that just popped up right before the season. Bill's probably made, I'm guessing, $75, $85 million coaching college basketball at Kansas. I mean, you've been one of the five highest paid coaches at least for a decade now. You're pulling somewhere between 8 to 10. So I might even be on the low end of how much Bill Self has made at the University of Kansas. We're not even talking about before you take a dollar from Salty Iguana or Adidas or whomever. So Bill's made all the money in the world. You're already in the Basketball Hall of Fame. You've already won multiple championships. Like, Bill's stepping down at the end of the season or announcing somewhere in the middle that this is his last year. I don't know how it could come from left field if that's what happens.
I do not think – I don't think fans would find it as coming out of left field. I don't know that Jock Vaughn is the for sure guy. I think if Jock Vaughn stays at Kansas for 2-3 years and Bill Self coaches until 2028 or whatever, then I think maybe then. But I think if Bill Self retires in, let's just say, 9 months, just it's April, they win a title, and he walks out. I don't know that after 1 year at Kansas, Jock Vaughn's the no doubt lock. I think he's one of the leading candidates. But I think he's got to be an assistant coach at Kansas for a little longer than a year before he gets that coach in waiting moniker. That, because I just, it would surprise me if they brought him in and then immediately made him coach in waiting. I think there's a little bit more time he has to accrue.
Yeah, that's the thing though. And I try not to get in Jayhawk business. I would be very, very confused at what would not make him the favorite. I mean, you've been a head coach in multiple positions in the NBA. You were a head coach for the Magic. You were a head coach with the Brooklyn Nets. You played at Kansas. You're one of their more prominent players. Like, I remember back in the day. Now, granted, this felt like it was a decade ago. We all thought that Danny Manning was the answer to this question. Like, if I'd asked you, hey, Bill's stepping down at the end of the season, who do you want to take over? Mark Turgeon and Danny Manning were the answer. Why wouldn't Jock Vaughn now be the answer? He's 50 years old. You know he's not leaving that job for another college job. He's probably not in line to get NBA jobs, not if you're a college assistant. To me, this just seems like a natural progression that Jock Vaughn takes over at 52, 53 years old, and then he does that job for a decade or so.
I understand what you're saying. I think he's the favorite if Bill Self retired tomorrow. I think he's the favorite. But I don't know he's coach in waiting yet. I think based on everything I've seen with Travis Goff and how he handles coaching searches, which we've now seen for the football program, we've seen, I know it didn't make a lot of news, at least on this show, the baseball program, but he doesn't just hand the job away. He does a national search, and he's done a very good job in his searches. I think Travis Goff would do his due diligence and talk to other people because, and maybe this is my Jayhawks colored glasses, and that's fine. Kansas, if the Kansas job became available, it is the most, one of the most appealing jobs in college sports, like, period. Basketball, football, it is a top 10 coaching job in college athletics.
Yeah, I mean, I'd argue it's the second best job in college basketball behind Duke. But I would also say, though,
Duke hired their own. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Like, North Carolina was in this situation, they hired their own. Duke was in this situation, they hired their own. Like, you haven't really seen too many of these jobs when they've come open that they went outside the family. They usually keep it in the family.
To be fair, the inside the family has had mixed results. Like, the guy at Villanova, who has since been fired,
yeah.
He was the Kyle Neptune. He was Jay Wright's right-hand man. He'd be like if Bill Self hired Curtis Townsend. He got run fast at Villanova. John Shire has worked at Duke. That's going well. There's been a mixed results on Hubert Davis in North Carolina. One season they made the title as an 8 seed.
Early on, it was good.
It ain't been so good lately. They were back their way into the tournament last year and then immediately removed. Thank you, goodbye. Like, the in-the-family hires, Syracuse hired an in-the-family guy from Jim Boeheim. Syracuse basketball is obsolete. No one talks about the Q's. So I agree that most of these schools have stayed in the family. The in the family has not been batting 1,000 with success.
Let's talk about this Emmanuel Classe news. I will say this, and maybe we are just so bombarded with news that it just doesn't matter anymore. I mean, in the last 3 months, we have had multiple gambling scandals in major sports. We have had multiple NBA gambling scandals. Now, one player was eventually cleared. Terry Rozier got cleared. I believe Malik Stewart, haven't seen anyway. I mean, the video, brother, you look guilty. I don't know. The defense rest. I would show him one clip. That looks like a person that was point shaving. And now we have the Emmanuel Classe, who is the closer for the Cleveland Guardians, who has been placed on non-disciplinary paid leave as part of Major League Baseball sports betting investigation. That comes from friend of the show, Jeff Passan. I'm watching some of the videos and the clips. I mean, it looks kind of obvious to me that if you are telling somebody, hey, this is what we need you to do, it looked to me like Classe went out there and executed that to a T. Now, I don't know if this is what point shaving would be for the general public or what they would consider to be point shaving or match fixing. But if you have the ability to bet on if the next pitch is going to be a ball or a strike, and then you tell the closer, hey, your first pitch needs to be a ball. We're going to put $10,000 down. We're going to put X number of dollars down. But that first pitch that you throw needs to be a ball. And you go out there and you execute it. Like, I'm sitting here, I'm watching the videos, and I'm like, every time he goes out there and he's wild on the first pitch. I mean, it's not close. Like, you're not even throwing, you're not throwing something close to the strike zone to give, and you look guilty. I'm surprised that these two stories haven't really bubbled up. I wonder why that is. Have we just, hey, this is just part of the game. Are we happy that they are catching these instances? Have they just not happened to big enough players? Is maybe that what it is? Maybe in order for this gambling story to really cut through, you needed to be Bryce Harper. You needed to be Aaron Judge. You need to be one of those kind of players. But, I mean, we've had two players on a team in the last 30 days that have been accused of basically the exact same thing. And it feels like a non-story during a time in which this will be the perfect time and the only time for this to be a story. This isn't a story in October. This isn't a story in September when football is back. But in July, when all football is just practicing, the fact that the closer of the Guardians, a team that made the postseason last year, an all-star level closer, is involved in sports betting, seems like to me it would be a bigger deal. Maybe we're just over. Maybe we just don't care.
I also think, I mean, maybe this is, we're saying the same thing. I think because we're seeing these things pop up in sports more and more often, like Jameson Williams, I mean, those sorts of things, I think people are kind of just accepting that, hey, guys are breaking the rules, they're getting caught. It's kind of the same way they viewed, you know, a PED suspension or whatever. It's, hey, guy broke the rules, guy gets caught, guy goes on administrative leave. Like, if Shohei Ohtani's gambling scandal didn't shake baseball and we didn't, you know, oh my goodness, another gambling scandal after the best player in the sport had one, if that didn't shake us into thinking we have to talk about this all the time, nothing will. So I think because you're seeing this more and more often in sports, people are more and more like, ho-hum, it's no longer, you know, man bites dog. It's becoming dog bites man for people.
Someone on the text line says, who has the time to watch every pitch by every pitcher and compare that to betting sites? This screams that somebody is snitching. Well, it's not how they actually found this out. How they've been able to find these things out is there then is an unusual amount bet on a very specific random thing. That's how they got Jonte. How they got Jonte was one day in NBA betting, Jonte unders was the most popular thing bet on the board. Why would Jonte Porter unders be the most popular NBA bet of the day? Not in a league with LeBron and Steph and Giannis and all of these players. Why is there so much interest in him? So basically what happened with these individual pitches are, you know, there is a normal amount that is bet on these things and they're able to track it now. Oh, well, we normally get this much from over under. Oh, we usually get this much for a player hitting a home run or doing this thing. But when they see an unusual spike on something that's pretty random and something that obviously could be influenced by one individual, if you throw a ball or a strike, that's what's kind of alerted them. So, I mean, their system is working. There's no question that their system is working. Their system is also notifying us of, oh my, two players on one team. We had two NBA players recently. I mean, it seems to me like we are not that far away from this being an NFL issue. It's not a fear monger. We're way too close. Maybe it happens in a preseason game with a lower level player that a sixth round pick is willing to bet on an interception or help somebody. But I just don't know how, if it's come to Major League Baseball, if it's come to the NBA, we just think that it's never coming to football when there's so much money changing hands when it comes to the most popular sport in this country. It just seems unrealistic to me. Coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to talk about baseball. Bryce Harper and the commissioner of Major League Baseball, they got into an argument, but I want to give credit to one of Kansas City's own. I'll tell you what it is. Keep it right here. So Drive.
You're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison, host of the Random Royals lineup on 96.5 The Fan.
Baseball with the Royals.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
All right, a couple of things. Thing number one, and then we'll get back to very serious sports things. Thing number one, I had to go to KU Medical earlier today. I'm fine. I just had to go up there. So I went up there. And I see a sign that says parking. I was like, oh, okay, cool. I got to park my car, right? I drive in there. Rob, there was a parking gate and a little parking arm. I was thinking, oh, this is just to know who's coming in and out. I had to stop and press a button to get a ticket. I was like, huh. So I then grabbed the ticket. I then go inside. And then they were like, do you need to get validated? And I was like, for what? She's like, you got to pay to park. And I'm like, wait, what? At the hospital? Then I asked the woman as she was taking my blood pressure. I was like, you got to pay to park here since you work here? She's like, yeah, everybody does. I'm like, wait, what? I was like, wait, hold on. You're telling me that you save people's lives for a living. And yet your job makes you pay to park at the hospital? She's like, yeah, of course. Wait, that doesn't sound like you don't hear what you're saying. That doesn't sound crazy to anybody else. I can't be the only person that thinks this. This is the system that we have set up? That you got to pay to park at the hospital? I get you got to pay to park at the baseball stadium. I do. I get it. I get you got to pay if you want to go to a Chiefs game. I even understand why they make you pay in front of a meter. Like you're downtown. You know, I get it. I understand this. Rob, is this a common thing? Am I not crazy, right? Like, I feel like I'm crazy. That the text line's going to be like, well, of course. And I'm like, wait, how have we normalized that you got to pay to park at the hospital? If there's one place where the parking should be free, shouldn't it be at the hospital? That's wild to me. How have we allowed this system to go on? You knew this? You had this information.
I mean, I'm not defending the system because it's not good. But I was aware of the validating system. The validation gets you to avoid the payment. I don't think they want people just parking in perpetuity. So it's you park, you either get it validated or you got to pay. That's kind of the system. It's a bad system. It's even a hospital.
Even with validation, I still owed money.
Yikes.
I still owed money. My parking was $5. They gave me a validation that only gets you $3. And then I asked, and I was now curious. I was genuinely curious. They were like, well, if you had got a prescription, they would have gave you a second one, and then you could have combined them. And I was like, wait, what? Someone on the text line, complained, at it again today. I mean, this sounds like a legitimate thing to complain about. You have to pay to park at the hospital? That's not crazy? Someone on the text line, employees at KU have to pay $600 a year to park. Again, it's at the hospital. I don't even think that's complaining. This seems like a genuine observation that how is this a system that we've set up? This can't be right. Other countries can't be doing this. I refuse to believe it. I refuse to believe if you're in Toronto and you had to go to the hospital, you had to pay to park. This is wild to me. Doesn't make any sense. That's the number one thing. The next thing is actually not a complaint. This is an observation. You know that we talk about two Americas, and we know we joke about it most of the time. I think we would also agree that there's kind of like two versions of Kansas City, kind of like there's two versions of America. I would say what barbecue place you like is sometimes based on this two America concept. You know who deserves a lot of credit? Ted Lasso. Ted Lasso has been really taking a genuine Kansas City tour. They had the casting call out in Blue Springs. I think it was kind of everybody knew about this. I mean, I don't know if there was that much of a secret. I feel like that was kind of, if you know, you know. But if you wanted to try out to be in Ted Lasso, you had your opportunity. I imagine that time is now past. They then are going around the city and shooting in various places. It'd be very easy for them to shoot on One America. It would make sense to me. If they shot this whole thing, Rob, on 135th, that would not surprise me. But I'm sitting there seeing like, oh, he's at the gates on Main. Oh, he's at the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. He's at the plaza. He's going everywhere. Good job by you, Jason. That's good. That's a good job by you. Great job. Two thumbs up. I would not have guessed this. Rob, it kind of catches me off guard. I'm a little surprised. He's taking a real tour of Kansas City. He's showing you all versions of Kansas City, not just one version. That should be applauded.
I mean, he is literally checking every box. I agree with you. When the casting call first came out and it was Blue Springs, I thought it was going to be a very suburban view of Kansas City. But Gates, he was at Swope Park the other day. He's done Negro Leagues Museum, which was closed yesterday. And that's just the stuff we know about. There might be more things on the agenda. I don't work in the casting department. I don't work on the location set department. There could be more parts of Kansas City that he is going to highlight. Maybe a West Bottoms pops up. Maybe a River Market. I don't know. But it's not like Ted Lasso is showing some, hey, this is what people think of Kansas City. This is what we're going to show. He's showing Kansas City. And I respect that very much.
No,
Jason Sudeikis, good job.
You watch the show?
I love Ted Lasso? Incredible. Show.
I've never seen it before. Is it a show I should watch?
You would enjoy it. It's like a nice little pick me up.
I mean, it's a show about a soccer coach. Is that a show that I'd be really into?
Did you like Scrubs?
No, not really.
Then you won't like, never mind. You won't like the humor in this then. Because the humor is very Scrubs-ish.
I mean, I'm not anti-Scrubs. That's just not really my kind of show.
I, feel like
I am familiar with it, though.
If you like Scrubs, I think it's the writing group and the either producer or director is the guy who did Scrubs, is also doing Ted Lasso. So if you enjoy that sort of, you know, workplace comedy, but the workplace is a soccer coach now, you will enjoy the show. Like, I have my mom and dad love the show. They are not soccer fans by any metric. They text me every once in a while and they say things like, hey, Ted Lasso said this. What does it mean? And I explain relegation to them.
Do you think in like 10 years people will look at Ted Lasso like The Office or like Parks and Rec?
Yes. Now that it's coming
back. Or do you think because it's on Apple TV that maybe that's the barrier that it won't be viewed like those shows?
I don't think that will be a barrier at all. I think it'll be viewed that way. Because I think in 10 years, the idea of it being on a streaming platform is going to be commonplace. Like, maybe your social media is different than mine. People talk about Severance like it's already one of those shows. Now, I don't like Severance, but people talk about it like it's special. It's Apple TV. Shrinking just won a bunch of awards at the Golden Globes. It's Apple TV. I think stigma of streaming only is starting to wash away.
No, I mean, I don't think there's a stigma as much. I mean, just I think Ted Lasso would be bigger if it was on Netflix or Hulu, like just a more popular streaming service, or if it was on HBO Max. But the fact that it's on Apple TV just seems like it's limiting because it's just not the most popular streamer that there is. A lot of you are talking about this KU medical thing. Maybe I'm ignorant. I just had absolutely no clue. Yeah, my son, he does a grad program at KU Med, and he has to pay to park. Someone says, I work for the hospital. They don't own the garage the state of Kansas does. I don't know who owns the garage. I don't care. The fact that you had to pay to park at the hospital is just, it's a mind-blowing thing to me, like how we've signed up for this as a society. Like, there has to be some things that we got to sit back and be like, hey, this doesn't make sense. Like, this isn't adding up. Like, this is crazy. That seems like it's very, very high on the list. Like, if you try to explain this to somebody, they'd be like, wait, for what? Like, you had to go, like, pick your grandma up, and then you had to pay when you left? Like, that doesn't sound off to anybody? Because it sounded very off to me when I was there earlier today. It didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I have a choice, though. I paid my $2 to park earlier today at KU Medical. All right, coming up at the top of the hour, there is a fight a-brewing. We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. So, drive.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.